In the town of Capernaum, we find the home of that good friend, that faithful servant, that apostle of Jesus Christ, Simon Peter. There are a lot of things that we know about Peter from the Scriptures. Many wonderful stories we find in the Bible about Peter and the things that he did. Many wonderful examples that we can learn from the life of Peter. But perhaps one of the more obscure stories about Peter, one of those stories that doesn't seem to get quite as much attention, is the time that Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Ironically, as obscure as this story is, it's found in three of the four gospel accounts. It's found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 31, and in Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39. It's a very short story, but it has great value for every single one of us, especially in the area of service. We know how important service is to the life of a Christian. In John chapter 12 and verse 26, Jesus says, "If any man serves me, him will my Father honor." And of course, we desire that God would honor us, that He would look upon us and see us as being precious in His sight, that He would look upon us and see us as one who is worthy being considered honorable. We're concerned about our service. And we learn some wonderful lessons about service right here in this story. A very short story, but if we just break it down, it's very simply this. Jesus came to Peter's house, and there he finds Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever. He touches her. He helps her up. She's healed, and then she begins to serve everyone. Not much to it. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Not much to the story at all, but there's something valuable for every one of us. This is a lesson about service. And there's something incredible that we learn from all three accounts of this particular story. Yes, Jesus healed her. But the medicine for our lesson today is not in how Jesus applied His hand to touch her and to heal her, but rather the medicine that we find this morning is in the response that was given to Jesus' hand. And if there's anything that we can learn from our lesson today, I hope that it's this. When Jesus heals us of the sickness of our soul, in gratitude, we will respond by serving Him. When Jesus heals us, if we are grateful, we will rise up and serve Him. This morning, as we take a look into this story, we recognize each of the three gospel accounts. And as we take a look into Matthew and into Mark and into Luke, there are some things that we can draw out of this story and highlight, some things that are very important to us in our service to the Lord, our service to others in the world around us. And first of all, we see this morning that service is a response to Jesus' hands. Service is a response to Jesus' hands. Let's look first at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verses 14 and 15. "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and served them." And so once again here, we see Jesus touching someone's life. We see Him touching people. This was something very special in the ministry of Jesus, how He touched people's lives. He touched them physically. If they were blind, He touched them. If they were lepers, He touched them. If they had a high fever, like Peter's mother-in-law, He touched them. And from the touch that He gave, she was healed of her sickness. And we don't know exactly what kind of fever this was. We don't know what her sickness was. Now, Dr. Luke tells us that it was a high fever. And some have suggested that maybe it was typhoid or malaria, something that was really, really bad. We don't know for sure. But we do know that Jesus simply touched her, and she was healed. But something else happens here too that I think is interesting. If you look at this story, you read about how Jesus touches this woman, how she's healed, and then she gets up and she starts serving everyone. There wasn't any excitement. No one went running out into the street shouting, "Hallelujah! Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law." There was no singing, no dancing in the streets. Word wasn't spreading about how the great physician had healed Peter's mother-in-law. It was almost as if it wasn't that big of a deal. I'm amazed when we look at all these other stories of Jesus healing people. And many times, oftentimes, people just became hysterical. Jesus was trying to tell people, stay quiet, don't tell anyone about this. But the more he pressed them to stay quiet, the more they began to tell everyone. But right here in Peter's house, when Peter's mother-in-law was healed of her sickness, it's almost as if it wasn't a big deal. But why should it be? Why should it be a big deal? For those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, it shouldn't be a big deal for us to feel His hands upon our lives because we experience them every single day. Notice with me a contrast. Flip over to Mark chapter 1. Now Mark introduces this same story by reminding us that Jesus had come up from the synagogue to go to Peter's house. And I want us to look at verses 21 through 28 of Mark chapter 1. And as we read, I want us to notice the key points here that talk about the people's astonishment, about their amazement, about what's been going on. This was earlier in the day. Jesus was in the synagogue. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we done with you, Jesus of Nazareth? You come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with what authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. When Jesus was in the synagogue, they were astonished at his teaching. When he healed the man with the unclean spirit, they were amazed and they were confused with what they had seen. And they began to wonder, what is this? And as Jesus' fame began to spread around, they were all amazed. They were all astonished. This was a big deal. And why was it a big deal? Well, it's because they had never seen anything like this. Jesus was new. Jesus was profound. They had never seen anything or anyone like Him. But then when you come into Peter's house and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, everything was calm. Everything was collected. Everything was under control. It wasn't a big deal. And it wasn't a big deal because it was common for Jesus to touch their lives. And it was common for Jesus to touch their lives because it was common for Peter to bring Jesus home with him. Sometimes it seems perhaps our service lacks consistency because we maybe expect that our service will only happen in the name of Jesus at special times. We may have a tendency to compartmentalize Jesus. There's this little compartment over here. We set that aside, and this is the compartment for religion. This is for the Lord. It's for Bible class. It's for worship. That's where we put our life groups. That's where we put our pantry program. That's where we put our mission work. All in this nice, neat little box over here. All these things are over here. All these things are set aside for our service in Jesus' name. Then over here, we have another box, another compartment. That's for everything else in this life. The things that maybe we don't think are that important to God. Things like our hobbies, things like our recreational activities, things like our jobs and our finances. Maybe sometimes we place our family and our health and our sicknesses over here. Jesus doesn't want that. Jesus wants to be involved in every facet of our lives. Jesus wants to be involved in our families. Jesus wants to help with sick mothers-in-law. Jesus wants to help with wayward children. He wants to be there when the family goes through their budget. They make a financial plan for the family. He wants to be a part of the family's decisions. He wants to be there when you plan out your recreational activities, when you go on your vacations. Jesus wants to be there. He wants to be there when you're concerned about a loved one or a friend. He wants to be there when you're helping your children with their homework. He wants to be there when you go to their ball game or their band performance. He wants to be involved in and around your life. Parents, you have children, some of you. You have teenagers. There are some wonderful things for the young people here at Enterprise Boulevard to be involved in. Drew and Jay Will and many others do wonderful work, a wonderful job in working with our children. With our young people, let me tell you something. One of the best things you can do for your children is not to bring them here to be around Jesus, but instead to make sure that Jesus is around them whenever they are not here. And that goes for every one of us. One of the best things that we can do, any of us, one of the best things we can do for our lives is not just to come here to be around Jesus, but to make sure that Jesus is around us everywhere we go. Jesus wants to be involved in all of our lives. That way, when He touches our lives, it's not anything out of the ordinary because it's something we experience every day of life. If we're true, if we're faithful, we'll do like Peter did. We'll take Jesus home to be with us. When we leave this room today, we'll take Jesus home with us. And then tomorrow, when we go into work or when we go back to school, wherever we go, we will take Jesus with us. And whenever we see Him accomplish something great through us, we're not going to be surprised. We're not going to be confused. Because it will be a common thing, a regular thing for us to take Jesus wherever we go. Service is a response to Jesus' hands. Now I want us to go to Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. We find another facet of this miracle. We find there that service is a response to the help that Jesus provides. Mark 1, beginning in verse 29. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her immediately. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now Mark shows us here a few little details that Matthew doesn't record. And one of those details that I want us to notice in particular is found in verse 31. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Jesus didn't just touch her. He helped her off the bed. He didn't just touch her with His hand. He helped raise her up. And then she began to serve all that were in the house. But Jesus helped her to her feet. Jesus wants us to know that He's not just there to touch our lives, but He's also there to aid us when we get ready to serve others. Jesus wants us to understand the aid that He can give in our lives. I want us to recognize something. Go back to the house and recognize something about Peter. Not just about his mother-in-law. Well, let's think about Peter for just a moment. We think about Peter and the decision that he made to follow Jesus. I'm sure that there were many questions. Questions that he had. And this episode in his life went a long way to help answer those questions. Peter had made an incredible commitment whenever he decided to drop his fishing net and follow after Jesus and become a fisher of men. When we think about the apostles, we think about what great commitment it took from them to be able to leave their secular jobs, to go and to follow after Jesus. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they all dropped their nets. Matthew left his tax books. The rest of the apostles left their jobs. They left their workplaces to walk and to follow after Jesus. And that was incredible. But let's consider this. It wasn't the only thing that they left behind. Peter said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, "Lord, we have left all to follow you." It wasn't just their fishing nets they left behind. Peter was a father. Peter was a husband. He was a son. He was a son-in-law. It's likely he had servants inside the house with him as well. And I'm sure he had some questions. Questions like, who's going to take care of my family? Who's going to be providing for their needs? Those are questions that any rationally thinking man would want answered. So this episode in the healing of his mother-in-law went a long way to remind Peter that he would always be supported by Jesus. Jesus would be there to give him the aid that he needed. How many times in the Bible do we read about the aid and the help that God wants to provide in our lives? We learn that he cares for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. He knows the number of hairs in our head. God knows and he cares for every one of us. And if he can care for us in our daily lives, then certainly he will be there by our side as we serve others. Now the problem is, whenever we're serving others, maybe we can't really feel Jesus there with us. And so we're left with questions. How do I know that Jesus will be there? How do I know that as I'm mowing this widow's lawn, that Jesus is there to help me in this particular service project? How do I know when I go across town to help someone who's less fortunate than me? How do I know that Jesus is there with me? How do I know? It reminds me of a story I heard about a young girl, an 8-year-old girl, who was talking to her father, who happened to be a preacher. And she asked him, "Daddy, when you get up there to preach, why do you bow your head for a few seconds before you begin talking?" And he told his daughter, "Well, the reason why I do that is so I can pray to God and I can ask him to help me to have a good sermon." The little girl thought about that for a second and she said, "Well, then, Daddy, why doesn't he help?" You know, we may be like that little girl sometimes. Why doesn't he ever help? I can't feel him. I can't experience him. How do I know that Jesus is right there by my side? Physically, you don't. But by faith, you do. We may have some rational questions to ask, but Jesus always provides. Maybe that you don't see him now because you didn't see him when he lifted you up. When you were immersed in water to have your sins completely washed away, when you were raised up out of those waters of baptism, did you feel Jesus tugging on your arm, pulling you up out of the water? No. You didn't feel that, but you believed he was there. You had faith that what God had promised, he would provide. You had faith that whenever you went down into that water, your sins would be completely forgiven, completely covered, and Jesus would lift you up. And brethren, if you can have faith that your sins are forgiven at the point of baptism, then you can believe that he's walking alongside you in any service that you may be involved in. If he was there when he lifted you up, He'll be there when you serve. We can't do anything for Him without Him. And when we serve Him, we can believe that He's right there by our side. Let's move on to the last account. In Luke chapter 4, verses 38 and 39, here we discover that service is a response in honor of Jesus. Luke 4, beginning in verse 38. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. Now, I want us to notice something here. Mark tells us that Jesus was immediately taken to Peter's mother-in-law. Mark also tells us that the fever immediately left her. But notice here what Luke tells us. After Jesus immediately came to her, after the fever immediately left her, she immediately began to serve them. It's fascinating to me to see how fast the medicine of the great physician worked in the lives of those he touched. The blind man, Jesus healed him. And he didn't have to come back for therapy. The lame man, when Jesus healed him, he began to walk immediately. He didn't have to go through weeks and weeks of rehabilitation. He walked immediately. It happened in an instant. Jesus never signed a doctor's note. He never gave them Tylenol for their pain. He didn't recommend a therapist. When they were healed by Jesus, they were healed. Maybe what's also fascinating is the wonderful example we see left for us by Peter's mother-in-law. All day long that day, she could have sat in her bed and said, "You know what? I'm just going to relax and enjoy this day. I've been sick, but Jesus healed me. My fever has left me. I'm just going to take a little break." Well, that wasn't her response. As soon as Jesus healed her, she got up and began to serve them. Now, it would have been easy to make the point had the text said she arose and served him, talking about Jesus. That's not what it says, is it? She arose and served them. She served everyone in the house. Whenever we're grateful, whenever we choose to honor Jesus for what great things He's done in our lives, we'll not just worship Him and honor Him and praise Him. Certainly we will do that. But we'll also serve Him by serving others. John 13, verse 35, Jesus says, "All people will know you're His disciples by the love you have for one another." Galatians 5, verse 13 tells us that by love we ought to serve one another. Galatians 6, verse 10, "Therefore, as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith." If we want to serve God, we have to serve others. I want you to see the way this situation impacted Peter's household. She got up and she served immediately. Notice what happened that very night. You read further into Mark chapter 1 after the episode of Peter's mother-in-law. Matthew and Luke tells us that Jesus began to heal other people. People who were sick. People who were demon-possessed. Mark tells us where that happens. Mark tells us that all the people of the city came to the door. Jesus and His disciples who were there spent the entire night healing people of sicknesses and demon possession at the door. The very house that once supported a brother's fishing business was now supporting the ministry of Jesus. Their priorities had shifted. Think about another story. Moving forward into Mark chapter 2, we find Jesus, He comes back into Capernaum, and it just simply says He comes to the house after a few days and people begin to recognize that Jesus is there. And people begin once again to flood the door. They come to Jesus wanting Him to heal them of their sicknesses. They wanted to listen to Jesus' teachings. It became so crowded that whenever a paralytic man was being brought by his friends, they couldn't get him inside. because of the crowds. And so they took him up onto the roof. They broke through the roof and lowered this man down to see Jesus. Jesus looks up and he sees their faith. And we read a story like that and we say, oh, wow, what compassion, what love, what faith. But you know, there was someone in that house that was looking up and said, what a hole in my roof. And we can't be certain as to whose house this was. I think it was Peter's. Someone was going to have to repair that roof. Someone was going to have to fix it. Someone would have to pay the bill. But that man getting to Jesus was more important than anybody's roof. To honor Jesus in acts of service requires a shift in our priorities. For Peter, Jesus became more than a part-time curiosity. Jesus became his life. When Peter said, "We have left all to follow you," he truly meant it. We've sacrificed our time. We've sacrificed our possessions. We've sacrificed our livelihoods. We've sacrificed even our lives to honor you, to serve you, to be a part of your ministry. Can we say the same thing? When I think about Peter's mother-in-law, I think about a servant. But you know, when I think about servants in the Scriptures, Peter's mother-in-law doesn't make it to the top of my list. Not at all. I think about Peter and James and John. I think about servants in the Old Testament like Moses and Isaiah and Daniel. I think about Noah. When I think about listing the servants of the Bible, those are the types of people that fill my list. But Peter's mother-in-law, she's not on that list. Then I think back to the words of Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus doesn't say, well done, good and famous servant. He doesn't ask us, nor does he expect us to be famous. He simply expects us to be faithful servants. So as we serve God in this life, recognizing that his hand is on our life, recognizing that he's there to help us, recognizing that our service is to be an honor to him, we will serve him in order to be faithful, not to be famous. Jesus wants your loyalty. He wants your life. This morning, perhaps you're not a Christian. You've not experienced the hand of Jesus on your life to heal you of the sicknesses caused by your sin. Today, you can respond to his invitation. Coming in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing you believe he is the only begotten Son of God. Be immersed in water. Be baptized to have your sins washed away. If you're already a Christian, maybe you know you need to come back to the faith and ask for prayers of the church on your behalf. If that's the case, we hope you'll let us know about that. We'll pray for you. We know the Lord will forgive you. He will restore you. Understand this morning. The great physician is ready to see you. He's ready to heal you. Come see him. As together we stand and sing.